Money FM 89.3, Best of Breakfast. The Bigger Picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to The Bigger Picture. Sean Chong River here this morning. And front and center, how should investors adjust their portfolios, particularly in the area of fixed income? That's what we are in discussion with today. And I'm thrilled to have Gershon Distenfield, the Director of Income Strategies at Allianz Burstein, with me to unpack this. Good morning.
Good morning. Really pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So broadly, we have been hearing lots of commentary about rates, and then we've seen how sensitive markets react to the news, which eventually cascades to other stories. Could you explain how investors could make sure that these rate outlooks could be used to adjust their portfolios, particularly in the area of fixed income?
Yeah, I think investors are getting a second chance here to invest in fixed income. You know, many investors felt that they had missed the rally in fixed income at the end of last year. The reason the market rallied very hard at the end of last year was because the market became convinced that the Fed was going to start to cut rates around now. And of course, that's been pushed out. So we've had the market sell off. Sometime later this year, again, I don't know if it's going to be a month from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, but at some point, the market will then again be convinced that the Fed is going to start to cut rates. And fixed income instruments of all sorts are likely to have very strong returns. They tend to be very lumpy. The bonds of almost all kinds had a 9 to 10% return in a six-week period at the end of last year.
Okay, so that being said, how should investors approach investing in bonds, especially when there are money market funds that's offering yields of about 5% or more?
Well, over time, money market funds and cash loses to almost all types of investments. 2023 was a great example, and 2024 is setting up the same way. You know, the first 10 and a half months of the year, you looked very smart by just sitting and earning 5% in cash. And then, as I said, in a very short time period, a six-week period, you had bonds of all sorts rally 10%. So depending on the type of bonds you held in 2023, you earned anywhere from 8% to 15%, and cash was 5%. This year is setting up the same way. So far this year, right, bonds have slightly negative returns, although, quite frankly, bonds like high-yield bonds have kept pace with cash for the first three-plus months of this year. You're setting yourselves up to have a very strong rally. Yields are too high at the long end of the curve, and investors that sit in cash are almost certainly going to lose to investing in other fixed income securities.
Okay, so let's just stick with this angle for a bit about the money market funds. Well, I've noticed that recently there have been many advertisements out there promoting very attractive offers, you know, like 8% for the first month, for example. Very enticing, wow, but what does that mean to retail investors? What does the layman need to be mindful of when looking at all these advertisements?
Well, I live in the U.S. I haven't seen those advertisements, but it reminds me of when you used to get like a free toaster to open a bank account in the U.S. Someone gives you a little bit of an incentive, and you know, they quote unquote, the bank will quote unquote lose money in that first month, but then they have the deposits and can pay you a rate that they're able to then lend out to someone else at a higher rate. So they're counting on you not just keeping the money in for 1 month and earning 8%, but earning, you know, maybe 5% or maybe even lower going forward.
And speaking of investing in bonds, does the traditional 60-40 idea work given where we are in the market right now?
Well, the traditional 60-40 works better today than it did years ago when yields were so low. And then at any time that stocks sold off, you just didn't have as much room to rally. You know, when the 10-year's at 1.5%, it's different than when it's at 4-6 today. But I don't love the 60-40 to start with, because the 40 assumes that all of fixed income is one asset class. The reality is that you can invest very conservatively in fixed income and very short duration funds. You can invest very aggressively in high yield funds and emerging market debt funds that have a very high correlation to stock. So I think what an investor has to look more holistically at their portfolio. One of the things that we've been promoting is that after you've made a lot of money in stocks, assuming you've been invested in them over the past few years, you may want to take off a little bit of your equity exposure and go into the more risky parts of fixed income, which might be risky in fixed income terms, but are actually less risky than the equity markets.
So now with the U.S. 10-year treasuries having crossed 4.5% and inflation continues to be sticky, the world ahead looks bumpy. So how could that impact fixed incomes?
Well, we're certainly going to see a lot of volatility. And I think many investors have been pointing out that volatility seems very, very high. The reality is it's no higher than it was, you know, pre the global financial crisis. The anomaly was really the past 10 or so years before, you know, 2022, where volatility was very, very low. So look, investors should expect volatility. That's what, part of what you get paid for in markets, right? You could sit in cash and have zero volatility, right? Your account balance will go up every month, but then you earn lower returns over time. So part of what investors get paid for is to accept that volatility in the pursuit of higher, longer-term returns.
All right, and let's take a look into the end of the year, looking forward. For a while now, there have been comments that, you know, markets have expectations that the Fed was looking at cutting rates while economic data was good, mainly because it is an election year. So what is your take on that thesis now, especially absorbing what April data has told us?
Well, I actually am very skeptical that the fact that it's an election year is going to impact Fed policy at all. You know, the Fed has moved in election years. They haven't moved in election years. I think that Chair Powell and the committee are going to do what they think is the right thing to do. And to your point and your question, I think what would be best is if the Fed does start to cut when growth is still robust. That was originally their plan. What's halted the plan is the fact that CPI has come in higher than expected the past 3 months. So there's two ways the Fed could go, or two things that could happen. If we start to see, you know, growth slowing, unemployment ticking up, which we haven't seen at all yet, the Fed's going to feel the need to cut to really avoid that recession. If, however, inflation reverses, continues to come down, and growth is still strong, the Fed is going to start cutting slowly, preemptively, because the rate is higher than the neutral rate. And if you keep rates high too long, then eventually you lead to a recession. But that would be the better of the two outcomes.
So if that being said, then what would your thesis be with regards to maybe where could fixed income markets be at the end of the year?
I don't know if it's the end of the year or 12 months, but, you know, we look at the 10-year at 4.5, 4.60 as too high. You know, if we think inflation should be coming down, maybe the Fed doesn't get it to 2, but we think somewhere in the mid-2s. You know, real rates have averaged about 175 basis points over the past century, but we think those should be narrower too, since we're going to start to see, we think, slower growth. So we think a 10-year of 4% or even lower is what's warranted. Now, do we get to 5% before we get to 4%? That's certainly possible. Again, I expect a lot of volatility. But I think fixed income investors are going to be rewarded over the next, let's call it, you know, 12 to 18 months for being in fixed income instruments that are longer out on the yield curve.
All right. Thank you very much for your time today, Gershon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
He's Gershon Distenfield, the Director of Income Strategies at Alliance Bernstein. Stay with us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.